Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, all right. This is the I Am Rappaport podcast, the first ever best of the I Am Rappaport podcast BGM before G Moody. All right, this is the best of the I Am Rappaport podcast before G Moody, aka the Black Ed McMahon, came and joined me as the official co-host of the I Am Rappaport podcast. So this is some of the funniest, best, most interesting stuff that we did here at the I Am Rappaport podcast in the very beginning, and I hope you get a kick out of it. I hope you enjoy it. For those of you who've heard it before, it ages like a fine wine. For those of you who've never heard some of the early podcasts, it's gonna blow your fucking mind. All right, it's gonna blow your fucking mind, blow your eardrums, and let's get into it right now. The I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast live.
You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. 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 You better tune in, iamrappaport.com. Cause every single podcast, you know he drops bombs. I seen him on set, a seasoned vet with true talent. Catch him on his way to CrossFit, rocking the New Balance. He asked me to do the track cause he know I rhyme elite. But I'm just waiting for the Robert De Niro line of the week. Breakfast of Champions, toasted bagel, cream cheese and lox. This is I Am Rappaport, the show never stops. You might catch him out in public, stretching his knees. But if you don't listen to the show, yo, wigga please.
Wigga please.
This is the Rappaport podcast.
I'm going to do a verse of the week. Michael Rappaport. This is Michael Rappaport. And my verse of the week is, I'm going to pick Halftime by Nas. And the reason why I'm going to pick Halftime by Nas, I mean, Nas is one of my favorite MCs. Nas is, he's so good for so long. And I mean, you know, he's just one of the best. So the first verse from Halftime plays in the opening credits of a film I did, the first movie I ever acted in, Zebrahead. And so I always felt like, you know, I always felt like that was like the first time most people heard Nas, and that's the first Nas single. If you didn't hear anything before that, he was on a song called Live at the Barbecue. But the first time a lot of other people heard him was on Halftime, which was in the opening credits of a film I did called Zebrahead, which was the first film I ever did. This is 1992. So I'm such a fucking hip-hop head. And then I knew Live at the Barbecue probably before I got Zebrahead. I don't know the timing, but I feel like it came out in the spring of, I think, 91. I don't fucking know. But I heard that Nas was going to be on the soundtrack from MC Search. We're going to get MC Search on here. That's going to be a fucking good-ass podcast. I'm going to get MC Search on here. That motherfucker's got history in hip-hop. So he produced the soundtrack. Anyway, the opening credits, Nas, Halftime. Before a blunt, I take out my fronts. Then I start to front. Matter of fact, I be on a manhunt. You couldn't catch me in the streets without a ton of reefer. That's like Malcolm X catching a jungle fever. Now, right there, you're like, oh, fucking shit. That fucking line, that's like Malcolm X catching the jungle fever. Shut it down right there. Stop. You're like, whoop. You press pause and you're like, what the fuck was that? That's four sentences. Four fucking sentences. He shut the whole shit down. And Nas was like 21, 20, some shit like that, maybe 19. So right there, you were like, you had some fucking serious shit on your hands. The rest of the verse, too King Poetic, too much flavor, I'm major. Atlanta ain't braver, I pull a number like a sky pager. That's some shit right there. Because I'm an ace when I face the base, 40 side is the place that is giving me grace. Now I wait. Another dose, you might be dead. And I'm a Nike head. He said, I'm a Nike head. I'm a Nike head. Right there, you're like, oh, shit. This is in the first verse. This whole thing, I'm going slow. This is happening fast. It's happening like, there's a beat. I'm fucking breaking this shit down. And I'm a Nike head. Shut it down. I probably skipped some shit for other people in that past three or four lines that other people might find as like, I'm just going over the shit that stuck out with me. And then he said, I wear chains that excite the feds. Ain't a damn thing gonna change. I'm a performer strange. So the mic warmer was born to gain. Nas, why did you do it? You know you got the mad flu. Yo, I'm reading this shit and I can't even do it. That's how fucking good it is. It doesn't mean I can't read. This is some fucking, I know you're, oh no, you can't read. I can read. But the wordplay is so stupid that it's so ill that it's hard to even read it. You got to be flowing on the shit. Nas, why did you do it? You know you got the mad fat fluid when you rhyme. It's halftime. Fuck, man. So that's my verse of the week. Halftime by Nas. Shit is crazy. All right, this is the best of BGM before G Moody, before Gerald Moody joined officially the I Am Rapport podcast, and we're coming right back. Great Sneakers is the first sneaker brand from Brooklyn, New York. Greats is a direct-to-the-consumer sneaker brand that's redefining the sneaker business. They eliminate the middleman to save the customer money by selling to you at greats.com. I'm telling you, these sneakers are comfortable, stylish, and made with premium materials. Check out all the sneakers at greats.com, and you could save 20% off when you use the promo code RAP, R-A-P. That's RAP, R-A-P. Go to greats.com. Guys like Marshawn Lynch and Kevin Durant also endorse Great sneakers, all right? Marshawn Lynch just came out with the Beast Mode sneaker made exclusively by greats.com, all right? Made by Great Sneakers. Go to greats.com and save 20% by using the promo code RAP. Trust me, stylish, comfortable, low-key, flashy, but not too flashy. Greats.com. Go to greats.com. I refer to the mountaintop as... So Dean Collins played my son, and for some reason, every fucking where I went after filming... Dean Collins from the Ward Home would show up.
I'd get the invite.
So I would take him places. So let's go over the top three mountaintop moments that Michael Rapaport has given to Dean Collins over the years.
Okay.
Because we actually haven't worked together
Quite a long time.
But the mountain keeps coming.
It's still there.
So what was number one there. Mountaintop?
Okay.
I got you into a club in Hollywood.
Okay. Well, okay. So here's the top three.
Top three.
Number one.
Yes.
Meeting Leonardo DiCaprio and having an hour conversation with him at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood. That was number one.
That was number one. I hooked that up.
Pre-Inception. Pre-Wolf of Wall Street.
He was doing Inception.
All right, that's
he was
impressive. Just doing it.
That's pretty impressive.
That was fanboy moment.
And I'll bet you if we asked Leonardo about the mountaintop moments in his life, he would be like, when I met Dean Collins.
With Michael Rapaport.
I don't know. I mean, you really think that?
Fuck yeah, he would say that. Like, why wouldn't that be like an important thing? Like, he got to meet Dean Collins. I'm sure he's probably still fucking thinking about that shit.
Yeah.
You're giving me very confused faces.
Yeah, because I'm...
That's number one.
We'll let the pod.
Anyway,
the pod
let's go to number two.
We'll let the pod people decide.
Right.
Hey, wait, but just to mention something really quick. You know, Dean and I have had a conversation about who takes him to the mountaintop more.
Oh,
so this is
that's a real conversation.
This has been like a real deal.
Okay,
you know,
so maybe I'll do the
thing in our.
I'll do the top three with Michael and the top three with Lola.
And then let the people decide.
People decide who takes him to the mountaintop.
Okay.
All right, that's
because I've been
cool.
telling him I take him to the mountaintop.
Fuck
all right,
that,
and that's
Logan.
Bullshit.
All right, number
know?
One is fucking Leo at the Roosevelt with a lot of girls around.
Lots of girls.
I take him to this. I summit Mount Fuji. You know, I don't know what mountain you're going to.
Right oh, now. I'm going to fucking Mount Vesuvius. This is Mount Vesuvius. I just
I
learned about
know.
Mount. Vesuvius.
I just learned about that.
Hey,
I learned about Mount Vesuvius this week. My sixth grade son. He had to do a paper in English on Pompeii. It's a little city in Italy.
So you must be learning from your son
going to
school.
My kids in the sixth grade and the ninth grade, I am actually getting educated from that. Like, it's like I'm
not being funny. I'm
totally... You think I knew what the fuck Mount Vesuvius was before Tuesday?
You got to explain it to me after the podcast.
I think a sixth grade education now is probably, you know, equivalent
like
to...
Like 11th, 12th grade.
11, yeah, for maybe sure. even college in the 70s.
For sure.
I'm learning some shit. Like
geometry. Listen, I'm sorry. Let's go back. Adding fractions. Number two,
mountaintop moment that Michael Rapaport brought you to over the years.
Number two.
I just said number two mountaintop moment.
But I like it when I say
okay,
it.
Okay, go,
I say
go.
It.
Fucking
and then
go.
Add the sound effect.
Dean,
like,
Dean,
number two.
Dean, don't. This is my fucking podcast. It's my fucking show.
But
this is our first three way. So. This is our first three way. Podcast live here at the I Am Rapaport podcast.
Right.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
Number two.
Go.
So when we were doing the Ward Home back in 2007.
Yeah. The now defunct
Ward Home hit show back then.
Those motherfuckers, they canceled us. That was fun.
Fuck you.
That's smart.
Can I say
that's
that?
Good for the career. Yeah, say fuck you. That's Dean Collins saying that. I didn't
listen,
say
listen, if I'll never be on
sure
I'll never
either.
Be on.
Is he on?
He owns and that's fine.
Okay.
I'll be okay.
You just
with that.
Got fucking blacklisted off.
I do what the I fuck I want. I keep it real for my listeners. You know what I'm saying? All right.
Was running at the time. Sorry. Dean just said, fuck you. So now you're.
Gave
oh, he was running
finger. President yeah. of the whole
He
Fox
basically
now.
Was the button pusher on canceling the war at home.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
exactly.
You people that want to send your ears in.
What do you mean, you people?
Yeah. The thousands and thousands of people that want to send their ears in.
Yeah.
Send it to find.
Okay. No,
or just
sorry.
Send it. Send your fucking ears. Maybe
fuck
they'll bring
it.
Back the Ward Home on
that would be great.
Okay, get to
okay,
the second.
Okay, so number two. Number
moment.
Two.
Because I can't
Oceans,
wait to compare.
Ocean's 13
Woo!
Was filming right next to us on.
Paint the picture. We're on radio here. You got to paint the picture.
Okay. So we were on the Warner Brothers lot. We were shooting the defunct Ward Home show for Fox. And Ocean's 11, 13, they're on the third one, were filming across from us. And Michael was like, oh, you know, I'm friends with Brad Pitt. I'm friends with George Clooney, all the dudes on the set. And, you know, let's just go and see what's up. And so we walked into the stage and Michael was greeted with open arms. And we got to watch a scene with the late, great Bernie Mac. Don Cheadle, George Clooney, Brad Pitt.
Elliot Gould
was there. And I was tripping out
was
over this.
Was Brad Pitt there?
He was being filmed. And then we went into Brad Pitt's trailer because he wanted to say hello and he wasn't there.
And then you stole shit. What did you take out of his fucking trailer?
I didn't take anything.
You fucking, we you went into Brad stealing? Pitt's trailer and what did you take? Like a fucking soda or something? And you're like, oh, I'm never going to drink this, but
hey,
I'm going to keep it.
That soda belongs to Cool Shades 42 on eBay. Now, but anyway, so that was a big mountaintop, but it would have been like, whoa, if Brad Pitt actually came into the trailer. So anyway.
And caught you stealing shit out of his trailer.
Whatever, you could look at it however you want.
And did you, who did you get to meet? As a young child, I'm bringing you to like, right. So that day, who did you get to meet?
Right, I met nobody.
What the fuck, you didn't, we saw Clooney, right?
We saw him and he was playing basketball and
he wanted to play me again.
He wanted to play you and
I couldn't play him.
You said, hey, Clooney or some shit.
I don't call him Clooney.
Or whatever the hell you
said. I call him GC. But only people that know him really good call him GC.
So how did you hear that then?
Huh?
How did you hear that people who know him really well call him GC?
Come on, Dean. You saw me call him GC.
Okay.
We did a secret handshake, didn't we?
Yeah, and it was really funny because after that handshake, he's like, oh, he's like, you want to play me in basketball or is your elbow hurting too much? And then he rubbed his elbow and then you didn't have any response and that I didn't meet him. It was just kind of that. And so that was a two mountaintop.
Okay, that's number two. So that's pretty fucking good, Logan.
I think it's, I don't know if it really compares to.
Okay, we'll get to you.
And
we'll get to Logan in a minute.
Yeah,
okay, in the mountaintop moments, what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
Sip your coffee.
Yeah, I'm listening.
What kind of coffee is that? Is that from the place on Melrose Place?
No. No, I know that place, the mustache place, huh?
Yeah, like a shit. Where is it? Some underground, like cool Hollywood?
No.
Where'd you get that fucking coffee from?
This is that place on La Brea. I think it's called the Sycamore Kitchen.
Never even heard of it. Like, is there like a wink or like a special card to get in?
I
never
paid it. It's not a club to advertise on your show.
Fuck, man. No, it's actually just good old coffee.
Wait, it's called La Brea. What is it called?
Sycamore Kitchen.
Man, we get a sponsorship from
Sycamore Kitchen.
Yeah, I love
their
Sycamore
blueberry
kitchen.
Bananas are fantastic.
Yeah, they have apple
blueberry
brand.
Bananas.
Yeah, they have apple brand muffins. Yeah,
they got a lot of stuff.
They might want to sponsor this show. I have a lot of sponsors. I have a lot of people, by the way, that want to sponsor the thing. I don't have any sponsors yet for the podcast. But
nothing, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have any listeners?
Yeah. There's like a lot of people listening. Like it's charted. Like it's somewhere in like between 500,000 and like the unknown.
Where's the phone for like the listeners? If I say,
we need to go to the iTunes store to download this?
Oh, we'll talk about
that
after.
There you go.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
Logan, that's what the fuck I'm talking about.
Really?
We high five.
That's
great.
Fucking sick. Yeah, you need to go to the iTunes store.
Yeah.
And you look up, all you got to do, you don't even have to go to the iTunes. If you just punch in on the internet, I am Rappaport, it'll take you where the fuck it needs to take you.
But let's say I don't want to go to the internet. I'm on iTunes now and like I want to go to
that podcast. Is this on YouTube?
No, it's fucking YouTube? Podcast. I got sponsors that are trying to.
He's smiling. Man. He goes, "Is this on YouTube? Like, have you done a movie before, or like, are you just doing a web series? Like, are you only doing the podcast?"
No, I don't. I'm gonna be honest. I want to know where I can find this podcast.
Fuck yeah, Logan.
Oh no, it's awesome.
To your podcast
on iTunes. On iTunes in the podcast section.
Oh, so this is great. Well, so Logan just came off a movie with Brad Pitt, and then you're doing podcasts.
Well, I did a movie with Brad Pitt once, and then I ran into him once, and he still remembered me.
Right. So Michael did the movie True Romance with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
This was in his heyday before BP was BP.
He was BP.
He wasn't, though.
He was fucking Brad Pitt, motherfucker. Like when he got to California, he was Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Do you like that I'm like arguing with you and I wasn't born yet kind of a thing?
You weren't born. What year were you born?
90.
No, it was in 95, I think.
Yeah, what are you
True Romance,
about?
Classic
Damn,
movie.
How old were you, like?
25?
30?
26? No, I wasn't 30, motherfuckers. 90s in my 20s.
Oh.
Okay, don't fucking start that bullshit.
Okay, so let's get back.
Okay, so
number three
mountaintop moment Michael Rappaport took Dean Collins to is what? There's so many, but...
There's a lot, actually, and I'm trying to really think.
Go ahead.
Maybe, okay. Going back to the Ward home, the now defunct Ward home, we had a rap party out in Hollywood, and we were just like, we were over it, kind of a thing. No offense to the cast and crew, but we were over it. And we were like, let's get the limo, let's go to the club, let's have some real fun now.
To
you know what I mean?
Club.
That was when like it was the club, and now it's like,
50
Cent like,
song was cool.
Right.
Yeah, it was definitely
like, you could find me in the club and
bottle full of
bub.
I got bitches. There's I got what you need.
To me,
go ahead.
So we went out. Went to the club, and mind you, I was 15 or 16.
That's
at
called
this time.
Fucking juice, bitch.
That's called juice, bitch. And we
That's
weren't
called illegal, bitch.
That's called illegal. And back then, it was the hottest club. Back then, it was called Privilege, which is now 14.
It's that shit on Sunset near Sunset, Crescent Heights.
Sunset and Crescent Heights.
You could see it from the studio if you looked out the window of this exclusive studio we're in right here.
And the best part about it was the girl who was on the show at the time, Zoe DiStefano, was having a lot of problems getting in, and she was about to turn 21 in a week. And they were really scanning her ID. And, I walked in with Michael. I just walked right past the dude, 15 years old. And I think the best moment of that whole night was when I was in the club. We had the table, and I found myself dancing with somebody probably twice my age. And
I remember that shit.
And I'm dancing, and I'm with her.
All up on that butt.
All of a sudden,
I
look to my right, and Michael is dancing with another girl right next to me. And we kind of just gave each other that high five.
That
and
shit was classic.
Hey, like, this ain't father and son no more. No. Like, now we've kind of went into that, like, friendship land. Yeah. Like,
we're
this
at
is cool.
the fucking club. Yeah. And you were 15.
Yeah.
Logan, you're fucked.
All right, this episode of the Ian Rapoport podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Start building a dope-ass website today at squarespace.com. And if you enter the promo code Rapoport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, at checkout, you get 10% off. Squarespace has a state-of-the-art technology to ensure security and stability so your online presence and your online information is safe and secure. Millions of people literally use Squarespace. Starts at $8 a month, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. Start your free trial today with no credit card needed. Go to squarespace.com and make sure you use the promo code Rapoport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. Save 10% off. Everybody needs an online presence, and this is the easiest, simplest, cheapest, and most secure way to start that. All right? Trust me, if I could do it, you could do it, because I don't want to be politically incorrect, but even a mentally challenged dog could figure it out. It's that easy. It's that simple. It's that user-friendly. Go to squarespace.com and remember to enter the promo code Rapoport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, when you check out and get 10% off. This is the I Am Rapoport podcast, and this is Michael Rapoport. One of my segments that my team of craftsmen, scientists, and writers have come up with is something I'm very proud about. The name of the segment is Wigga Please. All right, we're going to be discussing current events, past events, future events. And if I don't like it, you get a Wigga Please. If I'm flabbergasted, you get Wigga Please. If I'm confused, you get Wigga Please. If it's more than one person, you get Wiggas Please. My first Wigga Please goes to this weekend in Los Angeles. An African-American woman and a Caucasian man, apparently as an actress, were caught. I don't know. They were accused of having sex. They said they were making out. The couple said they were making out. Police officer came because people were watching them. Apparently, was a door open in their car. They were on the street during the day. Police officer was accused of pulling them over, saying that she was a prostitute. Police officer said that he was just pulling them over because they were freaking off in the middle of the day. I don't know if you heard the audio of her being arrested, but I have a little clip of the audio of her being arrested.
Daddy, can you hold on just a second? Hold on. Excuse me. What's the issue?
Somebody called the police saying that there was lewd acts in the car.
There's no lewd acts happening.
Doesn't matter. I have to ID you.
We're not doing anything.
Somebody call.
I'm on the phone with my dad. This is my boyfriend.
Okay, I want to see your ID. Somebody called, which means gives me the right to be here.
So my first Wigga Please goes to the police officer. Why are you going to fuck up a good thing? If they want to freak off during the middle of the day, let them freak off during the middle of the day. Wigga Please. Why are you interrupting that shit? If people are watching it and you're getting a free show, in the 80s, that was called a peep show. You had to pay 10, 25 cents for that. Now, you can't even do it. Wigga, please.
Somebody call.
I'm on the phone with my dad. This is my boyfriend.
Okay, I want to see your ID. Somebody called, which means gives me the right to be here. So it gives me the right to identify you.
Do you know how many times I've been called? The cops have been called just for being black? Because we're black, it means white? I'm just being really honest.
I don't. Who brought up a race card? Why?
I'm bringing it up because
I said nothing about you being black. And I have every right to ask your ID.
And I have every right. right to say no. And if you'd like
to demand it,
you can take me down to the court office and I can make a scene about it.
No.
And you know what? I have a publicist and I work as an actor.
I'm mildly interested. You have a publicist, but I'm going to get your ID.
Daddy, I can't believe it. Like, all the things that are happening with the cops right now, I can't make out with my boyfriend in front of my fucking studio.
Sweetheart, you're getting arrested. The police officer doesn't want to hear from your daddy. He doesn't care about the story of your life, the plight. Sweetheart, you're getting arrested. Whip out your goddamn ID. We don't care if you got a publicist. We don't care about any of that shit. Wigga, please. And second of all, where's your man? This dude that you're out there, at least if they weren't making out, there was at least a hand job situation going on. I don't know where the guy is that you were giving the hand job to. And listen, I have nothing against a good hand job. All right. I feel like it's the safest form of sex. Everybody's happy. It's clean. It's safe. It's casual. You know, that's a whole other segment. But I'm a strong proponent of hand jobs. But sweetheart, apparently this is an actress. She was in Django Unchained. Wigga, please. Yo, you're being arrested. All right. You were freaking off during the middle of the day in public. Your door was open, apparently. Yo, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. So you get a wig of please. Your boyfriend, who I'm assuming there was at least some finger popping and or a hand job going on. You both get wig of please. All right. So you getting how this works? You act crazy. You do some dumb shit, you get the wig of please. Second one goes this weekend in Times Square in Manhattan, the middle of Times Square. If you've never been to Times Square, it's like Disneyland or it's like Hollywood Boulevard. Motherfucking Spider-Man and Batman got into a fight. Two characters that were in costumes, you know, trying to get tips for taking pictures and doing bullshit poses. Started fighting, Batman and Spider-Man. Apparently, you know, it was a turf war. Batman said to Spider-Man, I'm going to fuck you up, Batman. No, Spider-Man said to Batman, I'm going to fuck you up, Batman. And then Spider-Man grabbed his ass. I don't know what that was going to happen. And then Spider-Man fucking was like, yo, don't grab my ass. And then he whipped out his silly string and he sprayed Batman with his silly string. Wigga, please. Yo, dude, my man, what the fuck is wrong with you two? First of all, these guys in these costumes, none of them are even physically fit enough to be wearing these costumes. Okay, so if you're not physically fit enough to be wearing a Spider-Man or a Batman costume, if you're not Cock Diesel, shut it down. All right, it's not fair to you. It's not fair to the kids. Second of all, yo, silly string? Like, what the fuck? Third of all, here's a rule for all these characters out there. Spider-Man, Batman, Dora, all you people. You got to cover your loaf, all right? You got to put some kind of cock piece on because seeing a Spider-Man impersonator with his loaf dangling around and he doesn't have a proper jock strap or some kind of cock piece or a cup, it's not cool, man, and it's frightening to little children. So just off of that, you should be arrested and get some sort of summons. But you two assholes fighting and Batman referring to each other as Batman and Spider-Man, like actually calling each other the names of the characters, wigga, please. Wigga, please. Batman and Spider-Man, wigga, please. Cut that shit out.
You act crazy, you do some dumb shit, you get the wigga, please.
Yes. And yo, we keeping our eyes open for them people wilding out. Wigga, please, is what we scream and shout. You better act right before we put your shit on blast. Do yourself a favor, try to have a little class. Cause Mike Rappaport ain't having it. So save yourself from the embarrassment. Think before you talk or just keep your mouth shut. Cause this is I Am Rappaport and we don't give a what. So if you lose your cool,
you get wigga, please.
If you acting a fool,
you get a wigga, please.
If you wildin' like an idiot,
wigga, please.
If you acting all ignorant,
you get a wigga, please.
If you don't listen to this new shit,
you get a wigga, please.
And if you do something stupid,
you get wigga, please. What the fuck is wrong with you? Wigga, please.
I will start with my first Raging Bull line, my first Raging Bull quote, or it might morph into De Niro line of the week or the Al Pacino line of the week, sponsored by, that'll be fucking sick. Babe, I want to find a sponsor for the Al Pacino or Robert De Niro line of the week. Is brought to you by 1-800-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, I'm looking for sponsors. Who wants to sponsor my Robert De Niro line of the week, where I do, or a guest does, their favorite line from a Robert De Niro film, and then we discuss that line and the film? Who wants to be that sponsor? So my first favorite line from Robert De Niro is from Raging Bull, and it is, judges didn't know. Who knows what happened with them? People knew. And you thought I was messing around. You know when I mess around? I get that championship belt. Yeah, so what? The girl goes, yeah, so what? I love that line. Judges didn't know, the people knew. The judges didn't know, the people knew. If that's not a fucking metaphor for life, in Raging Bull, the first 8 minutes of the movie, the judges didn't know. You know what that means? That means fuck authority. That means fuck people that think they know everything. That means fuck fucking critics. That means fuck your fear. Fuck that little inner voice in you and go for it. The judges didn't know, the people knew, and you thought I was out there messing around. Okay? Great, great advice from Jake LaMotta, played by Robert De Niro, in my favorite all-time movie, Raging Bull. The judges didn't know, the people knew, and you thought I was out there messing around. Fooling around. Fooling around. The purists are going to be like, you don't know the movie. I'm going off the cuff here. And you thought I was out there fooling around. And his wife, played by Teresa Saldana, still don't know his wife's name in that movie. You've seen it at least 100 times. She goes, yeah, so what? I'll fool around and get that championship belt. That's when I fool around. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the first Robert De Niro line of the week. That was done by me. If you couldn't tell, I morphed into Robert De Niro there. I know my impression is impeccable, but that was actually me. I know you thought I was playing a clip from the actual movie, but that was me. And that was the Robert De Niro line of the week. You know when it would be like when voicemail first came out? You know, and you'd have like a voicemail, like an automatic voicemail, not the voice message machines. You know, like it was a machine, but when it was like became like a digital thing, my message would be from Al Pacino or from De Niro. It'd be a line. And this line for this week, the Al Pacino, or AKA the Robert De Niro line of the week, but it's Al Pacino. I know I sound confusing. It's from The Godfather Part 2. And it is after they tried to shoot up the Corleone house. And this is the scene when Al Pacino confronts Frank Pantangeli, because he knows that fucking Frank had something to do with trying to have him killed at his home and shot it up. Famous scene. Listen, if you're listening to the I Am Rappaport podcast, I expect that you've seen The Godfather Part 1, Part 2, even Part 3, because there's good stuff in that, although it was disappointing. I remember I saw it Christmas Day, whatever year that was, 94, 95, 93, I don't know, but it was sold out. I went in there by myself. I had my hair slicked back, a la Michael Corleone. I had on my hat, and I went in there and saw it. So I expect that you've seen certain movies, because we're one of a kind. We're the same kin. My listeners and me, okay? There's certain expectations I have from you and certain expectations you probably have from me. And I expect that all people listening to the I Am Rappaport podcast have seen certain movies, have eaten certain foods, and have smelled certain things in life, you know? So anyway, this is the Al Pacino line of the week from Godfather Part 2, when he confronts Frank Pantangeli and he says, you heard what happened in my home? In my home, where my wife sleeps, where my children come and play with their toys. Now, I don't try to act these lines out.
But the thing that I love about Al Pacino and this particular scene, this particular delivery of this line, is that he goes up. You heard what happened in my home. In my home, where my wife sleeps. And then he takes a big long pause. Where my children come and play with their toys. The cadence is so good. It's like you think he's going to flip out, and then he holds it together. Where my children come and play with their toys. That's the Al Pacino line of the week. Again, I'm not trying to perform it. I would be a fucking fool to try to perform it. I'm just delivering it. If you're playing fantasy football, I just found this app on Reddit. It's called Sleeperbot. Sleeperbot, B-O-T, Sleeperbot. I highly recommend you check this out right now if you're into fantasy sports. And do yourself a favor. Don't tell the other people in your league about Sleeperbot, all right? This app, it gives you alerts and updates and injury reports and roster changes that will help you kick fucking ass in fantasy football. They were the first ones to break important information the first week of the NFL season this year. All right, there's chats and there's shit-talking places on there for lunatics like myself 24/7. It's called sleeperbot.com. All right, and it works on iOS, iPhones, Android, and trust me, check it out and enjoy all the information at sleeperbot.com. SleeperBot, sleeperbot.com. Check it out. If you have not seen When the Garden Was Eaten, it's very easy to find. You don't look up When the Garden Was Eaten. You look up 30 for 30s on ESPN, and you could DVR. It'll be on Netflix soon. And that's the information. Okay, folks, that's the information. Because I get a lot of people. It's on TV. Like, when people say, where can I find it? Yo, I want to. Listen, I'm not a fucking DirecTV guide, all right? I'm just a guy here trying to fucking, you know, make it through the day. So don't be hitting me up on Twitter. Yo, where can I find this? Google that shit. Just Google it. Fucking Google it. Don't come to me with all that. So anyway, so this footage of Willis Reed beating up the Los Angeles Lakers, I begged and pleaded and threatened to come into the NBA offices wearing knee pads, and I was ready to do what I needed to do to get this footage because we found out it existed. And David Stern, the now former commissioner of the NBA, and Adam Silver, the now commissioner of the NBA, I begged him and begged him and begged him. And then I threatened. I said, I'll come in there and suck you off. And I think that's what pushed it over the top. I'm kidding. Wouldn't do that. Both of them are too old for me to be doing that. Anyway, I'm just playing. But they granted us the footage for the first time. It's never been seen. It's not on YouTube. It's probably on YouTube now. Never been on YouTube. No one's ever seen it. Nick aficionados, Nick nerds, Nick historians. No one has ever seen this footage. And it's in the movie and it's pretty shocking. And like I said, the closest thing I could compare it to is the Ron Artest malice at the motherfucking palace when Ron Artest got a drink thrown on of him and went into the crowd and went buck wild. And then Steven Jackson went buck wild. And then fans started fighting players and players started fighting fans and fans started fighting fans. It was just a fucking, that shit's probably not on YouTube because they buried that. They want to act like that didn't happen, but it happened. And this didn't involve fans, but it involved, just players getting knocked the shit out of. Willis Reed put them hands on everybody. And one of the things that we had to cut out of the movie is when he went back to the bench, he asked the other Knicks, why didn't you guys help me? And they were like, shit, you didn't need any help. Like, he took care of the whole fucking thing on his own. True story. Got cut out of the film. You know, you make a film, you make a documentary, you got to cut things. It's called Killing Babies, Drowning Puppies. You're in love with it. This is the greatest thing since chopped liver. Oh, we can't cut it. The movie needs it. You got to fucking cut it. You got to cut it. Some filmmaker said you got to hate the film to edit the film. You can't be in love. It can't be precious. You got to take those puppies one at a time and drown them. Drown them. Fucking drown them. If you want to drown them in a bath of wine, drown them in a bath of wine. If you want it to be like religious but you got to get rid of those little fuckers when you're making a documentary. You can't, nothing is too precious. So there were so many anecdotes in the making of When the Garden Was Eaten we had to get rid of. But this footage was so sort of
shocking to see, and because it was sports footage and the way it looks and the graphic nature of it and when the Garden was eaten, we were trending on Facebook above Ebola. And it was us, the Willis Reed fight footage, Ebola, and then I think ISIS or the Ferguson situation, something, major shit. But there was a moment in time where people were more interested in when the Garden was eaten than they were in fucking Ebola. It was crazy. And that's the reason why I make films, folks. You know, the other day I was thinking, if I was going to do top five players, I would do Magic at the point with Isaiah coming off the bench. I would do Michael Jordan. And first I said LeBron James, and then I said Tim Duncan, and then my fifth was Akeem. Now, you could say all the bullshit you want, okay, about Bill Russell. He's not in my first team. He's not even on my second team. Okay, he's not even on my third team. I got Kareem coming off the bench. I got Moses Malone coming off the bench. I got David Robinson coming off the bench. I didn't even mention Shaquille O'Neal. I didn't even fucking mention Shaquille O'Neal. So I pick all of those guys over the most winning basketball player in the history of the sport, Bill Russell. And if you saw when the Garden was eaten, I brought that shit up right to John Havlicek's face. Sure, he didn't answer me. He ignored the fucking question, but I fucking had the balls to do it. Because you motherfuckers out there that think I'm crazy because Bill Russell, but I brought up was Bill Russell overrated, you are drinking the damn Kool-Aid. I just named six or seven players who I would start. Let's go over my centers. Akeem Olajuwon, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Moses Malone, David Robinson, Shaquille O'Neal. That's five. I don't need to name any more. Five. That's five centers who I'm going to start over Bill Russell. I don't need to make this argument anymore. Okay? He played against lackluster competition. I am telling you, I have an Uncle Saul. He was a power forward for the Syracuse Nets. If you saw this poor prick, you wouldn't fucking ever think that he was ever in the NBA. This is who Bill Russell was playing against. I actually don't have an Uncle Saul. That's totally made up. But most of those guys looked like what I would imagine my Uncle Saul would look like. You know, I talked to Byron Scott. I tell him about the time when I got into the Los Angeles Laker room in 1983 with Arsenio Hall, and he said something about my jewelry. He said to me, "Yeah, you got a lot of gold chains." And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You know you're in Inglewood." So Byron Scott said, and I'm 13. I think I'm a combination of Michael Jackson and Eddie Murphy at this time. I have a black shirt that's zipped up. That's right, I said zipped, not buttoned, zipped. It was the 80s. Zipped, motherfucker. A black shirt with a collar, so it's like a polo shirt with a zipper, but the zipper comes up the side. I remember. It comes up like above the nipple, the zipper. So it's like a little square. You have like a zipper rectangle or square on your chest. And I had about four or five gold chains on my neck. Little small ones, but four or five ones. Nonetheless, I'm 13. I'm white. I'm in the Lakers locker room. Byron Scott says to me, I go, "Hey, how you doing, Byron Scott?" Like, I was like, holy, I'm in the locker room. Why when you say you're in the locker room, people always say, "Were they naked?" I mean, no, they're not naked. They're like have their shirts on or they have their shirts off, but they're not walking around naked. It's a small locker room. You know, if you want to have a sword fight, then you walk around naked. But these are, you know, who the fuck wants to have a sword fight? Jesus, let me finish my story. So Byron Scott says to me in 1983, "Damn, you got a lot of gold." No, I didn't say damn, a lot of gold chains. And I was like, "Yeah, I know." And he said, "You're in Inglewood now." And I said, "That's all right. I'm from New York." I said that. I fucking said that to Byron Scott. All right. I hope you're enjoying the best of the I Am Rapport podcast first edition. We're coming up on our 100th episode. The 100th episode is me and Danny Aiello. Me doing Danny Aiello. Danny Aiello doing Danny Aiello. And it culminates the 100th episode, which is coming up with Danny Aiello and I having an Aiello off. Okay, where we do the final scene from Do the Right Thing, and he plays Mookie. He plays Spike Lee, and I play Danny Aiello. It's all Aiello everything. It's the I Am Rapport podcast. I'm tipping the scales right now about 218, all right? And I'm fucking fit. That's a fit 6'3",
all Jew, everything, piece of steel. Like I'm a rock. I'm a fucking rock. 218, maybe 225. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? It doesn't matter. The weight doesn't matter to me anymore. It's the looks. The looks I get. The shoulders. You know, the shoulders, the broad shoulders, the, you know, mildly flat, sort of flabby, you know, midsection. But it's thin. You know, I don't have a six-pack. I got nothing. Nothing. No abs are showing. But I'm looking good. I'm looking all right, you know? And these little fucking broads are like, couldn't weigh more than 120 pounds. So you're supposed to hang from the TRX strap, like on your back, like your head's like, you know, if you let go of the TRX strap, you're going to kill yourself. You're definitely going to die, or you're going to knock yourself out, give yourself a concussion. And they're like, you know, come on, you're the man of the class. You're supposed to be doing more. Fuck you, lady. It's a female teacher, too. Fuck you, all right? I'm 220. These fucking ladies are like little toothpicks, you know? They're all fucking hopped up on coffee bean and I don't know, man. They're pulling themselves up. I'm like doing three in a minute. They're like, you know, get 20 in a minute. Fuck off. So we do that, the kettlebell. Then they have these other concoctions in there, these, I don't know, balls you could, they got medicine balls like Rocky used to use, you know, like he did it with the medicine ball. You're lifting them, you're doing push-ups on them, one-handed push-ups, two-handed push-ups. The lady's actually telling us we want to do push-ups with a clap. Do you know what would happen to me if I attempted to do a clapping push-up where you push up and then you're supposed to push yourself up enough in the air that you could clap? Do you understand what would actually happen to me if I actually attempted to do a clapping push-up? I would break my fucking face. So there's that, and then there's a rowing machine, and I'm good at the rowing because of my training with the CrossFit, and I'm long. So rowing, I have long arms and long legs, so I have a naturally, like what you would call a rower's body. I'm built for rowing, so I'm good at that. So she, in front of the whole class, tells me, we need you, she's pointing at me, we need you to do 500 meters in 2 minutes, okay? That's like professional shit. So I'm like, all right, you want to fucking try to shame me in front of the whole class? Now, this is in the station, so we need you, she doesn't know my name, just pointing to the only dick swinger in there. All right, I'm the only coxman in there. So I go, all right, I got it. All right, I don't want to be, you know, and these Jewish women are all like, I start 2 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to get the fucking 500 meters. 1 minute, I'm good. And I'm about 260, I'm ahead of time. So I know but the only way I'm at 260 meters, I got one more minute to go. And this last minute is fucking all out hell. So I'm rowing. And I'm like, I'm going to win. And then she's like, well, Susie's going to catch up. She's going to do 500 meters too. And so I'm like, no, this is my moment to shine, you fucking bitch. This is me. This is my time. So she's like, 10 seconds. Oh, Susie's going to beat you. And she's not looking at what I'm accomplishing. I can't talk right now because I'm like, I'm going to hyperventilate, but I'm on time. There's like 10 seconds and I'm at like 490. And then she's like, 9, 8, Susie got to 500. And by fucking, I got to 500 the same time Susie or Jennifer, or I don't know what the hell the lady's name was. She got to 500. So she's like, Susie beat you. Bullshit. So by the time we got to 2 minutes, I had like 517 meters, and this fucking Susie, or I don't know what her name was, Sarah or something, she gets all the glory. So they're like, yay, and they're all high-fiving each other and chest-bumping each other, like mocking the big guy in there. I never said I was going to win, but to myself, I was like, I'm going to fucking beat these broads. They're like 5'3", 5'4", they're all little toothpicks. I could do this. So that moment of glory is taken away It appears as if I lost the race, but I actually won the race, and I had 517 meters. And this lady, I didn't even see her. They probably were lying just to make me feel like shit.
Get her!
I play in a season-long fantasy football league at the Stern Show, but now I am completely addicted in playing one-week fantasy football games at DraftKings.com. All right? I resisted it, but now I love it. All right, if you haven't played one-week fantasy football, go to DraftKings.com, start playing one-week fantasy football games, and you seriously have the chance to win millions of fucking dollars every single time you play. One-week fantasy football games, all right? This means every week you can play as many games as you want, create as many lineups as you want, and start turning your love of football and that quiet, humble little degenerate gambler in you to seriously giving you the chance to win millions of dollars. Play responsibly. I make fun, I make light, but play responsibly. Have fun. You never know. It's the luck of the draw. But if you go to DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, and use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, you get to start playing for free. Okay? Check it out. I love it. In 1979, my father worked at a radio station in New York City called WKTU Disco 92. And they were originally WKTU Mellow 92. And then they switched to disco and they went from the bottom of the charts to the top of the charts. And then the disco craze was kicking ass. And then in 1979, he brought home an orange cover. The record had an orange cover. And he gave it to me and my brother. He said, "You got to listen to this song. It's called Rapper's Delight. It's rap music. It's going to be the next big thing." Boom. Changed my whole fucking life. We're going to do something very, very special right now. This is another segment. It's the verse of the week. And I am going to have my nephew, Duncan, he's going to recite the verse of the week. And I'm going to, then I'm going to talk about why it's the verse of the week. And I'm going to bring him on. He said he wasn't going to be shy and fuck this up, but just bear with me, and just be patient with him. So we're going to bring him. Duncan! Yeah, come on. All right, I'm going to get him in here. He's coming in. You ready to do this?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now we're going to, you're on the air now. We're live here. All right, so say hello.
Hi.
Duncan, don't be shy, all right? Remember we said you weren't going to be shy and you weren't going to get scared, okay? Cuz you know, right now it's just you and me in here.
Okay. I hear myself in the headphones.
Yeah, I know, that's because you're talking into it. Okay, now listen, don't worry about that shit now, Duncan. What we're going to worry about now is I want you to do, we're going to go to the song of the week, we're going to go ignorant shit, all right, with Jay-Z and Beanie Siegel. You said you liked that song, you picked it. My nephew Duncan, he picked the song, Ignorant Shit, which is a song that we listen to on the way to the games. He's playing flag football and basketball now, and, this is a song he loves. He fucking, didn't you pick the song?
Yeah, I like that song.
And you're going to recite the lyrics. It's a song off the American Gangster soundtrack. Not much traction on this song. It's one of those songs for like the real Jigga Man fans. Jay-Z, Hova.
He's best.
I know. We love him, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I want you to read the lyrics. All right, so just don't.
But I'm still hearing. I hear you in my headphones.
I know you hear me in the headphones. Okay, we're gonna get into the song. Ignorant Shit. Okay.
All right.
Now go say the lyrics.
But I don't hear. I don't hear the music.
I know you don't hear the music. You're just gonna say the lyrics. Okay. I wrote them down. Say you got to just say them so the people know them, because people don't know all the words to Ignorant Shit with Jay-Z and Beanie Siegel.
All right. Can I go now?
Yeah, just go.
Okay.
Do the verse, Duncan. Just do the verse.
Okay. I'm so bossy, bitch, get off me. Tricks, get off me. You can't get shit off me.
That's good.
I'm so flossy, no six on sprees. Laid back, Maybachs, don't even talk to me. This is the ignorant shit you like. I like that part.
I know, that's a good part.
I know.
I beeped out that word. Just say N-word.
N-word. Fuck shit ass bitch trick plus ice.
But do that line again.
I don't want to say that word.
I know. Just say N-word.
N-word. Fuck shit ass bitch trick plus ice. Come on. N-word. Fuck shit ass bitch trick plus ice. I got the
ignorant.
I got the ignorant shit you love. N-word, fuck shit.
Remember I told you that's the Spanish way to curse?
Yeah. Maricón, puta, and drugs. Come on.
Keep going.
I got that ignorant shit you need. N-word, fuck shit ass, bitch trick plus weed. Come on. I'm only trying to give you what you need. N-word, fuck shit ass, bitch. You like it, don't front.
I was fucking rubbing elbows with Rakim Allah. Rakim. From Eric B. and Rakim, some of you motherfuckers. Rakim, the God MC. I met Rakim. And somehow, he knew who I was. I was literally blushing when I met Rakim. My face, I could feel it blushing. Like, I could feel my face getting warm. Like, I was, like, meeting, I don't know, fucking, you know, Cheryl Teagues in 1979. That's how I felt meeting Rakim last night. I took a picture with him. I posted it on Instagram. Posted it on Twitter. And Rakim looked good. And I was at this Global Spin Awards. It's this DJ award show in New York that I didn't know what it was going to be, but they were honoring DJ Premier. Everybody from hip-hop was there. Not everybody, but a lot of humongous, influential pillars of hip-hop. DJ Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out, Marley Marl, Pete Rock, Premier, Puff Daddy, Dos FX, DJ Hollywood, fucking Renee from the Mob Wives. Yeah, I said DJ Hollywood and then Renee from the Mob Wives. Who else was there? I'm forgetting a bunch. It was pillars of hip hop, and it was just a great event. And motherfuckers were dressed in suits. They said it's a black tie event. I said a black tie event. It's fucking hip hop. I show up looking like a piece of shit in like a grungy shit stained sweater. You know, I didn't look up to par, but I didn't know what it was. And I had no idea that Rakim was going to be there. And I got there at 7. I did my little presentation at 8:15, 8:30. And then I saw Rakim, and I stayed till 11:30. And no bullshit, I talked to Rakim a little bit. Was talking in circles. I don't know what the fuck I was talking about. I was so nervous. Let me explain something to you. Rakim, in when he first came out, it would be like seeing E.T. to see Rakim in real life. It would be like seeing like a shooting star. He was never out. Remember his lyric, "So low key that you might not see me, incognito, taking it easy." That was real shit. He was like a mystery man. You never saw Rakim. So to see him, to see him in real life, I mean, everybody was coming over to him. Everybody, when they see him, it's like an exciting thing. The I Am Rappaport podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattresses, Casper.com. It's an award-winning sleep startup. Go to Casper.com, $50 off purchase of any size mattress. Put in the code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, Casper Mattress in New York City.
You could keep the bed for 100 nights. You could get your freak on for 100 nights. If you do not like the bed after 100 nights, you can return the mattress within 100 days. That's a guarantee. The bed will be delivered between 2 to 5 days anywhere in the United States and Canada. Same day delivery in New York City. We do not plug, we do not support, we do not take sponsorship from anything we have not tried and we are not passionate about 450%. If Taylor Swift is going to be the global ambassador for tourism and welcoming New York and all that shit, there is so much shit she needs to do, okay? This is how it works. Number one, I would like to help Taylor Swift become acclimated with New York as a real New Yorker, okay? Number one, I'm going to take this fucking girl. She's a girl, young girl. I don't know, 22, 23, 24, something like that. I'm going to take her on an eating tour of New York. And we ain't going to La Scala, and we ain't going to this place and that place. We're going around on the subway. Take the fucking makeup off. Put your hair in a bun. Wear some jeans and a t-shirt. Nobody's going to fucking bother you. No one will look at you. Well, she's very pretty, and she looks tall. So they might bother her. They might look at her. But if she takes the makeup off and puts her hair in a bun, wears some jeans and like a hoodie, and whatever, we'll be fine. I guarantee you we'll be fine. Let's just bring a goon. She could bring one of those goon bodyguards. I'm sure she has goon bodyguards. He could lurk in the background just in case shit gets out of hand. But I don't think anyone will even fucking notice her on the train, okay? Nobody notices me, but I ain't no Taylor Swift, okay? But I do ride the fucking train. I'm going to take her first. We're going to wake up, me and Taylor Swift. We're going to meet. I'm going to be, yo, what's up, Taylor? How you doing? No problem with you being the global ambassador of tourism for New York City. Of course, it makes sense that Robert De Niro was the global ambassador of New York City, and now you're the global ambassador. It makes total sense. How are you, sweetheart? I'm good, Mike. Nice to meet you. All right. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go to 2nd Avenue on 81st between 82nd. This is for breakfast. Fucking take Taylor Swift. We're going to go get a fucking bagel, cream cheese and lox, toasted, everything bagel from H&H Bagels on 2nd Avenue, okay? We're going to go in there. It's going to fucking blow her mind. And she's going to eat the whole thing. And she ain't going to be allowed to go to the bathroom without an escort, okay? Because I don't want no puking. I don't want no fucking trickery. You're going to eat that shit. You're going to eat the whole thing. And you're going to fucking, I'm keeping my eye on you. All right, you're not excusing yourself from the table because you're really thin. The problem that I'm having with Taylor Swift is that she's too thin. She's beautiful. She's like a malnourished deer, and I'm gonna fucking feed her and bring her back to life. Okay, because we need to have some meat on those bones if you're gonna represent New York and New Yorkers. So we're gonna have that bagel, cream cheese, and lox. And she's going to be wearing sneakers. We ain't getting on no fucking Ubers. We're not taking no cabs. Then we're going to plow around, bang our way throughout the city. We're going to walk around. We'll make it out to Queens. I don't know. We'll talk. We'll chat about music, you know, and all that shit. I don't know what me and Taylor Swift. But this is around 9 in the morning. Okay, we're going to get that bagel, cream cheese, and lox. Everything bagel, toasted, with some tomatoes and some capers from H&H Bagel on 2nd Avenue. The best motherfucking bagel, cream cheese, and lox in New York City, hands down. I don't give a shit. There might be as good, but there ain't nothing better. Let's talk about hardcore punk, hardcore punk. The correlation between, Toby, this is something I know you're passionate about. Because, you know, before I even fucking knew you,
I know,
hardcore, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And you grew up in New York, near CBGBs, all that, but that was
I wasn't fucking with all that shit.
I know.
I was in D Street. And then before that, I was in Dem Streets.
Exactly.
So tell me, explain to me, like, the core, and there's been mashups, but, like, what was the first mashup between hard, like, punk and hip-hop?
It was like, it was Onyx who brought that shit, right?
Probably Biohazard.
Yeah, Biohazard and Onyx did that, the Slam remix. I was, and then actually, what was I was the video, actually.
The dudes with Public Enemy, the guy.
Anthrax.
Was that the first one?
That was
that's,
yeah,
that's metal,
that
though.
That was like metal, yeah.
I think the first hardcore band was probably Biohazard.
Yeah. See, but if you asked me,
or what you guys did with House of Pain, Sick of It All.
Oh, Sick of It All, House of Pain was another remix. Jump Around remix was awesome.
Oh, right. Okay.
Get so a copy of that. It's really awesome. It's rare.
The
awesome.
Jump Around remix?
Was Sick of It All.
Yeah,
it was awesome. At the same time. When did that come out later? Or was when
a little bit after? Yeah,
they recorded it like 10 years before it ever came out. Right, like nobody would release it.
Oh, it's hard to get released because they're both on major labels. It's hard to get to be released.
Political shit.
It's like a demo tape, though.
But the when I learned about hip hardcore punk rock, the culture and even like the dress is so similar to hip hop.
It so is, and
the whole culture is similar.
It's similar, so but they don't know fucking from each other.
Yeah,
like if the majority of people they don't know from each other.
I think now all the genres have definitely.
Well, now I'm talking about 20 years ago.
So back then, yeah, it's
not that I'm that old. I'm 26, but I mean, I'm saying 20. I've read that 20.
It's from the streets.
The classic American hardcore band, at least East Coast, was the Bad Brains.
Yeah.
Right, and those guys are black.
Yep.
And that's the music that they chose to get into. You know, there's been other. There was a Afro punk festival in New York summer, yeah, where it was all black.
I mean, Bad Brains inspired Living Color. They inspired so many bands.
And that group, that movie that we saw, A Band Called Death, that fucking bugged
another
me
band
out.
Too.
Did you see that movie at all?
They were before the Bad Brains.
You got to see that.
Who was it?
A Band Called Death.
They invented punk rock before the Ramones.
Yeah, before the Ramones.
Straight up.
It's crazy.
Straight up.
I know nothing about a band. I saw the doc. I'll send it to you. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But so let me break this down for you. Punk and hardcore. People say they're two separate things. I think it's the same. One's more aggressive. So when punk first came out, it was like Sex Pistols, Anarchy, you know, Fuck Your Parents, all the stuff like that. I thought it was great because it was aggressive. I could skate to it, but I didn't relate to the lyrics because I actually like my parents. You know what I mean? It wasn't like rock,
but
fuck
who
everything.
Who says that? Punk or hardcore?
I'm saying punk was like that, like exploded.
Punk was Fuck Your Parents?
Hardcore became more socially conscious.
What's the difference between punk and hardcore?
That's what I'm saying. So
do it in hip hop terms. Is it like Tribe Called Quest and
yes.
MOP?
Dude, I consider Tribe Called Quest the H2O of hip hop. I'm not saying I liked it, but Tribe Called Quest and all that Native Tongue stuff, so it was all conscious. It was about making a difference in the world. And that's the same thing with like the
is
hardcore.
Is that punk or is that hardcore? In terms of like if
Tribe I'm saying it's punk.
If Tribe and De La were punk bands. This is what you know what I'm trying to say.
They're about positivity and unity and making the world a better place.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And then you got bands like 7 Seconds and Gorilla Biscuits and Youth of Today and these bands who were about the same thing back then. A lot of stuff was really tough and rugged from the streets, which was great. It had great lyrics and I love those bands. But then there were some other bands who were more conscious. They weren't about Fuck Your Parents. They were like, let's go vegetarian. Let's
like,
do
who,
something positive.
These bands?
Youth of Today, Gorilla Biscuits.
Underdog.
You know,
and
Minor Threat from DC. It's about straight edge, you know?
And what about what's the hardest of the hardest hardcore band where you're just like, even at
Agnostic Front,
Cro-Mags, Madball.
Is it because
Sick
their lyrics are just because they're just the way
they
get down?
Streets. They
the streets.
Grew up in Alphabet City in the days in 82,
right,
where it was wild style. I mean, everyone was living in squats and the stories I hear from these guys,
it's incredible.
It's out of a movie.
So listen, real quick, when Gorilla Biscuits came out with an album called Start Today in 1988, they did a song called Cats and Dogs, which is about vegetarianism that inspired so many people, including me and Tal. Around the same time, KRS-One came out with a song called My Philosophy, where he said, no chicken, no goat, no ham. He was kicking the vegetarian thing in hip-hop, too, which is really awesome. And he ended up being on the Sick of It All record in 1989, spreading the hardcore reality in 89, Blastmaster KRS-One. He introduced the Sick of It All album.
What was it? He introduced it.
He's on their album.
He introduced the album.
Okay, yeah. I'm just a dumbass. See, like, I'm not like
there's other, like, I think Common and
I saw K. Russell.
Well, and Big Daddy Kane. Like, you know, it was definitely like in the 80s, people were talking about, you know, eliminating
conscious everything.
But KRS was the first person.
Brand Nubian was doing that.
Yeah, they were talking about it. So I mean, I just was like, fuck that. I'm having Big Macs. I love you, Kane, but I'm gonna still eat some fucking.
Even KRS-One and Sick of It All played at the Marquee on 21st Street. I was there. Sick of It All, KRS-One.
Really?
Amazing. Yep.
And what year?
And Nikki D.
That's amazing.
I don't know, like 90, 91.
This is the Ian Rapoport podcast. My mom has just brought up. This is why my mom is a wealthy retired lady. My mom, off camera, off recording,
She said to me, if you stop fucking cursing so fucking much, do you know that more people might listen to this fucking podcast? This is what she says to me. She says, more people would listen to you if you didn't sound like a fucking sailor. These are New York moments. But last night, I got to experience a New York moment that I see these things on the news, on the internet, and I'm like, God damn it, I'm in California. So I was at this Global Citizen Festival. I believe this was on MSNBC and CNN. They showed the concert. It's to basically help world poverty. So it's a great event. Thousands. I don't know how. One cop said 300,000 people. Another one said 500. Another cop said 50,000. I don't know how many motherfucking people were at this concert in Central Park, but it was a lot of motherfuckers. And it was a great day. Perfect weather. I got hooked up passes from the Roots. Hooked me up, although I got there at the very tail end of their performance. And then there was all kind of finagling. Because when you get to one of these big concerts, it doesn't matter who you are, what kind of fucking pass you have or laminate you have. I never have the right one. I'm always the one that's like, you kind of got a good laminate. You kind of have a good pass, these fucking wristbands. But it's not the best one. And the ego takes over and you're like, well, I just saw so-and-so and they have a good seats and I see them meandering around with a glass of wine in their hand or a lemonade or an Arnold Palmer or whatever the fuck. And I got shit. I don't even have a bottle of water. So I want to go where they're going. So you got to finagle. You got to hustle your way to where they are to get that Arnold Palmer. By the way, the drink Arnold Palmer, I want to start a campaign for the drink Arnold Palmer to now be called Tiger Woods. Okay, if you're not familiar with this drink, an Arnold Palmer is half lemonade, half iced tea. Arnold Palmer is as white as a fucking sheet of paper. You don't get any more white than Arnold Palmer, the actual guy. Tiger Woods, half black, half Asian, half lemonade, half iced tea. You understand what I'm saying? Arnold Palmer, just lemonade. Tiger Woods, half black, half Chinese, half lemonade, half iced tea. So I always order a Tiger Woods when I go to like at a cafe or get a drink or whatever, because I'm not an alcohol person. My favorite drink is the Arnold Palmer, a.k.a. the Tiger Woods. Anyway, that's a whole other segment. I'm going to put in a campaign to try to get that drink officially changed to be called the Tiger Woods. Arnold Palmer, you might have invented it. I don't know. But you're out. You're fucking out. So we get to this concert. Beautiful weather. It's, I don't know, a million people there, 100,000 people. It's a lot of fucking people there. New York. So I'm in a good area, but not the best area. Me and my friend Toby and our other friend, we're fucking, I see somebody, yo, I need to go where they're going. So these two, there was a lot of diplomats there because it was a worldwide event. There was diplomats, there was, you know, world leaders, all kind of people. So there was a lot of undercover sort of Secret Service type policemen. And fortunately, I was in a film called Copland. And I think every single policeman in the world, but every single policeman from the New York tri-state area has seen this movie Copland. And fortunately, they like the movie. And a lot of times they'll recognize me from Copland. And they will actually acknowledge me as my character's name in that movie. And the only reason why I remember the character's name from the movie is because I get called it pretty much at least once a day when I'm in New York. Murray Superboy Babbage. So I'll get cops yelling at me all day, Superboy, 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 yo, you were in Copland, yo, Superboy, Superboy, which is fucking great. It's never annoying, especially if you're getting pulled over for a ticket. I got pulled over for a ticket two times. Both times the cops came and said, oh, shit, Superboy, what are you doing talking on your phone? I'm going to give you a ticket, but I'm going to let you go this time, Superboy. Oh, fuck, Superboy. What are you doing making that right turn? You know there's no right on red in New York. This ain't California. I'm going to let you go. So yesterday, four, I don't know what kind of cops they were. They were high-end. You know they're always high-end cops if they're in a suit and tie. I always feel like those are the ones not to fuck with. They let me and my friend Toby into the special area. Okay, let's just call it the special area. So I go into the special area, and of course, once you're in the special area, you got to get into the more special area. Giving away, giving away, giving away shit. Giving away, giving away, giving away shit. Giving away, giving away, giving away shit. I am Rappaport. We give away shit. Yo, I'm so glad I haven't been sued by the fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers yet, because I like those motherfuckers. But don't come for me. Leave me alone. All right? This is a mom and pop organization over here. And I don't want any trouble from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, all right? I'm doing a parody. You want to take me to court? Go ahead. Try me. We all know that that's your song. I'm saying giving away shit. You don't say that. Fuck you. Okay? That's that. All right. So for the giveaway this week, Instagram. If you don't have Instagram, get on your friend's Instagram. If your friends don't have Instagram, I don't know what the fuck to tell you, man. Somehow or another, you downloaded a podcast. You can figure out how to get on Instagram. I am on Instagram at Michael Rappaport. So what you're going to do is you're going to sing the giving away theme song, but you got to do it with, like, effort. You got to do it with, like, something different than I do. I'm not saying you need a fucking full band, but I want somebody who has passion, and I am going to give away a sick-ass American Giant hoodie. Now, let me explain something to you about American Giant. Look it up. It's been called the best hoodie ever made. Thick, soft, okay? Thick and soft. No Bruno. Sounds weird. And when I say Bruno, do you know what I'm saying? When I say no Bruno, I'm saying, like, you remember Borat? You know that movie Bruno? Like, I'm saying, like, no Bruno, like no homo, okay? So I'm saying no Bruno. So I'm saying thick and soft, no Bruno, because that sounds weird. Okay? But it's fun to say no Bruno because it's funny. Then when you realize what it is. Anyway, just do the math. A sick-ass American Giant hoodie. Okay? You need to Instagram me a video of yourself doing the giveaway song. But you need to freak it. You need to remix it. You need to do something creative. And the winner, I'm going to pick one winner, wins an American Giant hoodie. Like I said, it's called the best hoodie ever made. Thick, long, warm, comfortable. You could sweat in it. You could sleep in it if that's your thing. It's got a deep hood. So, you know, it covers your face if you're on the low. So the winner of this week's giving away thing must sing my song, giving away, giving away, giving away shit. Giving away, you heard it. But freak it. Do something creative. Do something special. Do it on video, 15 seconds, tag me, and I'm going to pick one winner. You know, I love giving away shit, so if there's more than one great performance, I'll give away more. All right, but the thing is that I'm always going to give away shit. I promise you, the I Am Rappaport podcast, I like giving away shit. I don't have the fucking time to give away shit to everybody. You know, you got to go to the mail place. I do it all myself, okay? I sign the thing. You'll see, when you win some shit, you'll see terrible handwriting, your address, my name will be on there. I do it because I like it. And I feel connected to you people for participating. I appreciate it. I'm not jaded yet. Come to me in a year, I won't give you the time of day. But in the meantime, I fucking love it. So that's the giveaway for the week. This is the I Am Rappaport podcast. I'm enjoying doing it. I appreciate the support. It's free. Tell your friends. I want more people to listen, and the more people that listen, the more shit I'll give away. All right? Have a fantastic week. This is Michael Rappaport, and I'm signing out.